Good morning. I've got to say, besides the clear fact that very humbled by just the heart of humility that I see in some of the people that are serving and some of the things that are being done. And it just reminds me how essential humility is to our purpose in Christ. And without humility, it's like what we see in 1 Corinthians 13 of without love. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you surrender your body to be burned. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do before you ever get to surrendering your body to be burned. But if you do them without love, what's it profit us? So the message today is probably going to be a little bit more along the lines of maybe stepping on some toes and things along those lines. I mean, come on, it's almost been 2 years. I think I'm allowed to go here finally. Please hear what I have to say from a humble heart. And let's do this in a way that we examine ourselves to see, does this apply to me? Is this talking to me? And I hope that that's something that we'll take serious through this. So please hear me, but hear me humbly. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that this time that we open up your word and we examine commands that you have given, as we look at verses that you have blessed us to have. God, I pray that we would not do this out of ritual, that we would not do this out of obligation, but God, that we would do this with excitement. Lord, that we would be like the Bereans, that we would receive your word with excitement, that we would check to make sure that it's contextual, that it's biblical, that it's scriptural. And Lord, that we would implement any changes that we need, because God, I pray that we would look like you and not like this world. I pray that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds and that we would not be conformed to this world. I pray that our love for one another would be evident that we are yours. I pray that we would be humble. But God, most importantly, I pray that we lift you up, that we honor you, that we glorify you, that we come into our right place in serving you, God, in loving you. Because that's where our positioning comes from, God. That's where our humility and our love comes from, is the fact that you first loved us. God, please help us to get a glimpse of some of that love this morning. And if we do identify areas that we need to address, Lord, help us to have the courage and the strength to do that. But help us not to have fear of one another. Help us to be united like your church is to be. Help us to encourage and edify and build one another up, that we would be the saints that you have called us to be. We love you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, I was doing some reading, and a couple of things jumped out, and they really caught my eye. And I wasn't even, like, doing book reading. Was I? I don't know. I was just kind of just reading. And speaking of book reading, so if you did read Philippians and Colossians, we now as a church have read from Matthew to Colossians. So this week, after Colossians comes your T's. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. They're in order by size. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, of the names. So let's hit those five. And it's like five books. None of them are that big. And they're packed with really good stuff. So let's continue to be a church of the word. Because if we're going to be a church that is, that if we're, this isn't church. We the church, if we're going to be effective, we need to be students of the Word. So this week, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. call somebody and talk to them about what you're learning, what jumps out at you, what stands off, what stands out to you. All right. So I was just doing some reading, and these three verses, they started just kind of like jumping out a little bit because of the common wording. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter for the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. And then 2 Timothy 2:16, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. You know what? First of all, the first thing that jumps out to me is this repetition of empty words or empty chatter. Useless, you know, vain, empty, good for nothing. So, and then not only is it said a few times here, but look what is the repercussion. Look what the consequence is of such stuff. Okay, so here's a consequence in Ephesus. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That's pretty serious stuff. Okay, now here in 1 Timothy, a worldly and empty chatter. Thus, now they were also, and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and have gone astray from the faith. They're shipwrecked. They've gone away from the faith. And then 2 Timothy, worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. So this jumping out at me of these empty words, and then I started seeing, like, wait a minute, everywhere that I see this, these empty words, this empty nonsense talk leads to worse stuff, bad stuff, terrible stuff. Okay, so as a society, I was like thinking, how much do we talk? You know, how many words do we say? Because if empty words, if vain and useless words, and I guess I didn't plan on giving you guys the definitions of the words, but so listen to some of this stuff that describes it. Pointless, worthless, heathenish, wicked, translated as worldly, profane, godless, chatter, empty talk, vain talk, empty discussion of vain and useless matters. Okay, so this kind of talk is warned about, and I mean, this is not an exhaustive study. I'm just saying I was looking over it, and these started jumping out at me, so I thought, huh, let's look into this. And then it ended up into a sermon. So I'm looking at this. Empty, worthless, vain talk produces all types of these bad things. I mean, 1 Timothy, some have strayed away from the faith? This is something to be on alert, to be on guard about. So I looked it up, and on average, we speak about 16,000 words a day. We talk a lot. Now, I mean, average, you know, that's going to be your median. You're going to have the person that speaks 42,000 words, and you're going to have the person that speaks 2,000 words. But on average, we speak about 16,000 words a day. I think that we're definitely people that need to be aware that we could get off into this left field of empty talk, vain talk, godless talk, wicked talk. Is that a temptation to anybody? I mean, you know how easy it is? Look at some of these things here. Knowing that that empty words and wicked words and profane and godless words lead to all kinds of destruction and terrible things, even some leaving the faith. Let's look at what we've got here. Proverbs 28 and 29 and 20. I lost my glasses over a year ago. Do you see a man... Probably time to just give up and buy some new ones. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than him. Someone who is hasty in his words. More hope for a fool than him. Same book, different chapter. when there are many words, transgression is hard to avoid? No, that's not what it says. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Now, again, these are proverbs. These are rules of thumb. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that if you, you know, speak 1,000 words, you're going to sin in there somewhere. Where there's many words, transgression is unavoidable. Where we speak a lot, when we're really engaging and speaking a lot, the temptation, the warning, the concern is present and there. We can slip into sinful speech fast. And sinful speech is a gateway sin. It just is. Titus 2:3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. This is where Paul's talking to Titus about sort of the way that people should be and everything. I think that this goes beyond the borders of older women. I think none of us need to be malicious gossips. Because you want to know what the word is in the Greek for malicious gossips here? Diabolos. It's like, oh, that kind of sounds like Diabolo. Sure does. Diabolos would be one that is a false accuser. One that slanders. One that is trying to tear down, destroy. Are you serious? When we maliciously gossip, it was just juicy, and I only told a couple of people. When we maliciously gossip, when we speak stuff that does not need to be spoken, we're doing the work of Satan for him. When we maliciously gossip, the Greek word diabolos is talking about falsely accusing, is talking about slander. That's pretty heavy stuff, folks. Now check this out. Exodus 20 and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Vain. Do not take the name of the Lord God in vain. You remember this? I told you it caught my eye. Empty words, empty chatter, empty words. Or no, is it chatter? Empty chatter, empty chatter, empty words. Vanity is producing no result. Useless. Worthless. So, producing no result, useless, worthless. And if we go back here, those type of words are a major problem. Major problem. And right here, we've got the third commandment. God boils it down to 10 commandments. Third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. It seems like God's pretty serious about this. So do not take the name of God worthlessly. Do not take the name of God without result, you know, producing no result. Do not take the name of God worthless. And these empty words, these empty chatter, I think that one of the major areas, folks, that we see this is in our culture today. Oh my God is not an explanation. Oh my God is not an exclamation of surprise or disbelief, folks. It's just not. Oh my God should be a cry to Him in worship or in prayer. When we use God's name like that, do you know, have you ever heard the name Yahweh, Jehovah? We don't know if that's how those are pronounced. The Jews actually took the vowels out of the names because it was so holy. It was so set apart that what we have is YHWH. So if I understand right, we took the vowels, I think, from Adonai and put in there, so that we could at least pronounce it. The Jews took them out because they did not want to mispronounce the name of God. I've also heard that whenever they were transcribing and they wrote the name of God, that pen's done. That pen is done. Don't know that I could substantiate that one. But they were so serious about not using the name of God lightly, because this is the name of God. I'm not using that lightly. You know, whenever you are baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, according to the Scriptures, Acts 2:38, repent therefore and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the name of there, that means by the authority of. Repent and each of you be baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ. By the authority of Jesus. And we were talking about this in the morning study this morning. There's a big difference whenever I was a kid to say, hey, it's my turn. Give me the controller. And to say, hey, Dad said, it's my turn. Give me the controller. Now I'm coming with the authority greater than my own. I'm coming in the name of Dad. Well, when we're immersed into Jesus, when we're immersed into the forgiveness of our sins, it's by the authority of God. The authority of God is what takes us, 1 Corinthians 1:13. Look at this. I feel like I'm not communicating well. Let's just let the Bible speak. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of light. That's how awesome God is. That's how awesome the name of God and the power of God is. He saves those who obey his gospel from utter destruction. His name is awesome. And the Jews understood it. The Jews understood his name is awesome. And it is so common. I have so much trouble watching TV and movies because, oh my God, it's so common in movies and TV. It like makes my skin crawl. Oh my God. And OMG, are we kidding each other here? Are we kidding each other here? It's like, oh, well, that's just society. Okay. Try that one on the day of judgment. I was just kind of going along with society, Jesus. We know where that gets people. We've got to hold a standard. And that standard starts with our speech, our actions, our heart. It starts with our speech. I don't like that. That standard starts with our relationship with Jesus and the transformation that we receive from that. And that needs to be produced. It needs to fruit through our actions and our speech. Someone's here. All right. We answer for our words. This isn't just about taking the name of the Lord God in vain, okay? That's serious. He boils it down to 10. Now, there's a whole bunch more, but what were on the tablets? The 10 commandments. Number 3, don't be taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. All right, so we answer for our words. Look what Jesus says. Matthew 12:36-37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. By your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. We're going to give an accounting for every careless word. I mean, look at it. This is the Word of God. Look at it in your Bible. I mean, Matthew 12. Who cares what I say? Let's care what the Word of God says. Matthew 12, let's see if I got it right here. Verse 36. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it. Right there it is. Every careless word. Now, the thing about this, we don't have, that's not like a bad thing that we're going to be held accountable for what we've said. Because check it out. Like, and I'm not like a doomsday kind of guy. I try not to be. I try to be encouraging. But we have to talk about this stuff. Like our mouths are how people get a peek at what's inside of us. Who knows the thought of a man but his spirit? Who knows the thoughts of God but the spirit of God? Okay, so I know what I'm thinking. But when I start opening my mouth, you know what I'm thinking. And that can be a good or a bad thing. That could go either way. So here, for by your words you will be justified. Guys, the J word is amazing. Justified is real good. That's what Jesus did for us who are in Christ when he went to the cross. He justified us. He made us right even though we weren't right. He made us fixed even though we weren't fixed. He justified us. Now, our words can either justify or they can condemn. Okay, so we don't just need to look at this as like a blanket thing like, oh no. No. We don't have to fear being judged by our words if we say what we're supposed to say and we don't say what we weren't supposed to say in the first place. And I'm not even talking about the grace and the mercy that God has upon us. But folks, what we say matters. Folks, what we don't say matters. We've been called to say some things. We've been called to live a certain kind of way. And that's why it drives me nuts whenever we get into this whole like, oh, well, in our society, you know, I mean, it's not really saying like, oh, my God. And, you know, it's like, what? Save that stuff. If your conscience is pure and clean and right before God and you think that you need to throw that around, hey. But I'm telling you, the way that it looks to me, not just the taking of God's name in vain, but what kind of stuff are we speaking? What kind of stuff are we saying? You know what drives me nuts? Is whenever somebody that's my brother in Christ says something because they're so uncreative and they're so desperately playing the tapes of what they've heard before because originality escapes them, and they say something that is so foolish whenever they see another brother come up like, hey, you good for nothing. And it's like, what was that? It's like, oh, I'm just joking with him. You know, we go way back. It's like, yeah, cool, great. You go way back. But like, hey, how about, it's great to see you, man of God. It's great to see you, warrior for the kingdom. It's great to see you, responsible man that loves Jesus. You know, I mean, something. Good to see you, daughter of God. Good to see you, sister. Something that edifies and builds up. See, when we speak, we've got full capacity, and we're doing one or the other. I'm either building or I'm destroying. I'm either building or I'm destroying. And I used to have the worst mouth of all. I don't know if it was poor self-image or lack of self-confidence, but I was a very destructive speaking person. And I hate that. But you know what it takes to go from being a destructive speaking person to being someone that speaks truth and love? A decision to be obedient to God. God calls us to speak the truth in love. Words are powerful, folks. It's one of the most ridiculous nursery riddles or whatever. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can... Man, come at me with sticks and stones before you start saying stuff that's going to shake my... Like my not my soul. That's Jesus's. But you could definitely mess with my psyche. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Grab this idea and hold on to it for a second. Everything that we know was spoke by the mighty power of God. Everything we know, this carpet, these chairs, nothing came into existence except until the self-existing one spoke. Words are powerful. Now take this and check out what happens with it, with the word in Colossians. Colossians 3:16, one of my favorite chapters. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do you guys see anything in here about how we're supposed to speak to one another? with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so that's what we're supposed to do. But I love this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The word of Christ is living and active. The word of Christ transforms. And so where the word of Christ is, where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Where the word is, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When the word richly dwells inside of us, you will not be able, that's so tough to say, you will not be able to not be transformed. So whatever the intelligent way to say that is, if the word of God is in you, you will be transformed. If it's richly dwelling inside you, and you are humbly coming to it, and you're learning, and you're growing, and you desire God, okay, the word of God will transform you. Have you ever had a really influential friend that's like been around, and like either the dude is like so complimentary or something, you find out that you're starting to be like a more complimentary person? Or the person is so stinking negative and sarcastic that you find it starts dampening your mood? The word of God is more influential than either of those friends. The word of God, if richly dwelling inside of us, this is what's going to begin to transform us to look more like Christ and less like us. How do I get the word of God to richly dwell inside me? That's what we're trying to do as a church with reading. If we're not spending time in the word, I mean, what is it? I'm just hoping to, I'm hoping to be better. It's like, what's that hope in one hand, spit in the other? You got to be active. We have to be active in our pursuit of God. We've got to be pressing into Him. Is it James 4:7? Let's go there. James 4:7. What happens when we press into God? Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, I think is what it says. Keep reading. I walked away. That's talking about repentance there at the end. That's talking about submit therefore to God. That's a decision of submitting to God and His way. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. I want to be transformed by the Word. Then get in the Word. I want to be transformed by the Word. Then confront the sin in your life that is trying to squash and silence the Holy Spirit. Confront the sin and let's battle. It's a spiritual war for our souls. This idea, I'm a Christian. I go to church. We meet on Sundays. Come on. This is a spiritual war for the eternal destination of the souls of men and women. Resist the devil. Press into God. Submit, therefore, to God. Draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. You resist the devil. The devil will flee from you. His time's numbered. He's trying to do something. And if you don't play his games, he's going to try to get someone else to play him. This is a war. Let's stand together and let's watch what we're saying. And let's watch what we're not saying. What are we loading up on? Matthew 12:34-35, you brood of vipers, Jesus speaking, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Romans 5 speaks about tribulation, and I've used this analogy before about that tribulation, because that tribulation there is talking about like a grinding or like a squeezing, like what you would do to an olive or a grape. And what comes out of an olive when you grind it or squeeze it? What comes out of a grape when you grind it or squeeze it? What comes out of a Christian when you grind them or squeeze them? If it's not, if it's not looking very Christian, what are we loading up on? What are we full of? I mean, what is it that you are what you eat? What about spiritually? How much do we eat spiritually? Is this like our time right here? It's like, oh man, I'll tell you, Sunday is all I need until next Sunday. I'm sorry to hear that. How much of the Word of God are we putting inside? And whenever we're pressed, whenever we're squeezed, what comes out? Because Jesus was telling here the Pharisees, he's like, you guys think good's coming out? I mean, you guys are full of evil. How can you, being evil, speak what's good? Guys, I want to speak what's good. I want to speak what's true and right. And that only happens by being filled with the Word of God, being filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. See, when in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When the Word's inside of us, we're putting more of God inside of us. God transforms those who humbly come before Him. So it's like, oh man, I want to look more like God. Well, let's start talking about your prayer life. Let's start talking about your spiritual reading. Let's start talking about the stuff that's coming out of your mouth. And it's like, oh, well, preacher, you know, I mean, oh, hold on. There's no holding on here, folks. This is serious stuff. This is why Jesus, I mean, it's like, you see today, like, you know, people at the end of the message, they're like, if you want to be saved, just, you know, come on. Like, if you want to get saved, like, we can do it real fast. You can still make lunch. And like, Jesus was like talking about counting the cost. Count the cost. It's like, do you want to be saved? It's like, that is a no-brainer. Hey, do you want to take the worst pain you've ever experienced, exponentially increase that and have that for the rest of all of eternity? Or would you prefer to live with total joy and happiness and peace with Jesus and God, those who created you, the Holy Spirit? Would you prefer to spend eternity with them in peace and joy and security and happiness? Or do you prefer to have the most unimaginable, horrific pain and torture for all of time? It's been cold. Tiff and I have a wood-burning fire. And so I've been trying to, like, blow underneath the fire to get it roaring and everything. And a bunch of heat comes back on my face. And I was just thinking, like, man, hell's got to be horrible. Horrible. I'm trying to start a fire. I'm cold. I want to be warm. And it's like immediately I went from cold to too warm. But that's some people's eternity. That's some people's expectation for eternity. Like, it's not a game. Well, I'm just so busy. I've said it before. Busy's the employee of the month for Satan. Oh, I'm so busy. You're too busy for the God that created you? How did Jesus talk? Luke 4:22. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Gracious words. Gracious words. Let's recap. Words have weight. We're responsible for what we say. We are accountable for what we say. We have the capacity to do the enemy's work for him. What Greek word is malicious gossip? Diabolos. Diabolos. Malicious gossip. We have the capacity to do the enemy's work for him. We've got an example of how to speak from our Creator. I just want to take look at a couple of verses. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You want to know how we're supposed to be talking to each other as Christians? You want to know how we're supposed to be living as disciples of Jesus, as lovers of God? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. That means to build up. Okay? Don't let nothing unwholesome come out of your mouth. If you speak, let it be to build up according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Could you imagine if whenever you get around your brothers and sisters in Christ, the only thing that you hear is something that is edifying, something that gives grace to you, something that blesses you, instead of hearing something destructive or hearing something that you probably shouldn't have heard anyway? Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. I say this because we've got a real responsibility. When I flip this over, that means we're a third of the way done. No, I'm kidding. I say this because we have a real responsibility as the body of Christ. It's not a spectator sport. It's critical. Every part of the body needs to work. And you are a critical piece of the body if you have been baptized into Jesus Christ and are living faithfully. You are a critical piece of the body. I need to be encouraging you to work, to function properly, to do the job you've been called to do. What have we been called to do? Love God, love others. Start there. When you accomplish that one, we'll talk about some more. Everything falls under that. I need to be building you up. But I need to be watching what's coming out of my mouth. We're either building or we're destroying, folks. And we've been called to build. Matter of fact, the destroying is condemned. The destroying is the work of the enemy. Let me leave you with two questions. Please ask yourself this. What can I stop doing to glorify God? You guys know I love to preach encouraging messages and stuff, and this doesn't necessarily feel like one. That's probably on me. I'm sure I could have figured out how to make it a little more encouraging. But this is critical, guys. This is critical. We're the body of Jesus Christ, and we have been given the dignity by Him who speaks galaxies into existence. We've been given the dignity to accomplish some work for Him. We need to be very, very, very serious about this. The way that I talk to you is extremely important, and the way you talk to me is extremely important. What can you stop doing to glorify God? What can you start doing to glorify God? It's just as dangerous the things that we don't say as the things that we do say. Hanging out with a couple of people and they say, you know, you got that real intellectual person in the group that says that science disproves God. No real person believes in God. It's a crutch for the weak. I mean, what do we do with that? Do we say something? Do we just let that slide? This is serious, serious stuff here, guys. Let's pay attention to how we're talking this week. Keep an eye on your language this week. And keep in mind that when you obeyed the gospel, the Holy Spirit resides inside you. The Holy Spirit is God. So the stuff that's coming out of your mouth, God is standing right there listening to all of it. Is it stuff that you'd be proud to say with God standing there? Info, it's not hard to say stuff that God would be proud of. It's like, hey, thank you for coming out today. Like, I love you being here. Matter of fact, can we get together for like coffee this week and maybe just talk about what God's been doing in our lives? You know, could we like keep God in the center? What can I start doing to glorify God? What can I stop doing to glorify God? Please take the question serious. Let's examine ourselves and let's see what we need to do to be a more efficient piece of the body. I don't want to just be barely making it. I want to be excelling. The question was asked this morning in class, if Paul wrote a letter about us these days, what would he say? Like, you know, would he be able to start it like real good like he does for some of the churches? Like, hey, we have heard about your guys' faith and the way that you love all the saints. And we have, what would Paul start ours with? Would he be able to be proud of us about what we're doing? Let's make sure so. It's like, well, maybe, probably, yeah. Let's make sure so. Let's watch what we're saying, and let's start saying what needs to be said. If you're not building up somebody, if you're not encouraging somebody, keep an eye how often Paul teaches about encourage one another, edify one another, build one another up. Keep an eye on it as we're reading. Matter of fact, Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus is a great place to keep an eye out for that. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, if you're a brother or sister in Christ and you need the prayers of the congregation, if you just need a hug and some encouragement, we're going to sing a song, and that's the time to come forward and let us love on you. But you don't need to do that. Catch us in the hallway. Catch us wherever. If you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that means you are not going to go to heaven. That means that you do not have God living inside of you. That means that you're living in obstinance and rejection to God's will for your life. If that's you, fix it. Come up and let's talk about it. Let's make sure you understand what's going on. And do not leave here an enemy of God. Leave here a friend of God. God bless y'all.